Don't do it. Don't put up with preachers who are preaching anything but the Bible. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Rod Hember.
I'm Janice.
And this is Bible Discovery. We discover the Word of God. We need to focus our attention, especially these days, on the Word of God and understand what God is saying. And we don't live in a time anymore we can believe. I believe like he believes, or he believes. We've got to believe what the Bible says. We'll talk about that as we study 2 Corinthians 11 in just a moment. It's going to be very good. Corey and Ryan are here too. Corey?
All right. Well, today my mom and I are joining forces. We're going to be talking about 2 Corinthians 11, where Paul faces off with these so-called super apostles. Ryan?
Well, today Paul mentions how Eve was deceived. And of course, this goes back to Genesis 3, which involves a talking serpent. So we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, talking snake. What in the world is that about? Or serpent? Anyway, 15 verses in 2 Corinthians 11. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Let's read it.
Second Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 15. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you, God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 15.
I love 2 Corinthians, the second letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. He spent a lot of time there, actually, but I love it. Now, we live in a world that is kind of interesting. In fact, you may see it too, but I see it all over the internet and television. I hear it on radio. And worst of all, it exists even in the churches. What am I talking about? People who claim to be from God, but are not. We call them false prophets. Well, that's what the Bible calls them. False teachers. When we do not place the Word of God in our hearts and our minds, we can easily be deceived. People can sound great while talking lies. If we aren't staying close to God's Word, our own hearts might love hearing these lies. It is something we must be very careful of. So many of us are fascinated with stories and words given around current events. Words that may have the sound of scripture, but have nothing to do with it. Conspiracy theories are fascinating. They are, but they're nothing new. They are addictive. Like all addictive substances, they must be handled with care and awareness while never losing our focus on the truth that is found in the Bible. In today's reading, Paul explains that this type of corruption began at the start of the church itself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, he says, quote, "But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." What's he saying? It's very simple. He's saying that you're so bound up and lost in the words that you don't really understand what the words are saying. Well, on this program, what we try to do, Bible Discovery TV, is we try to take the word and allow the Holy Spirit to use the word to come to television, to come to the internet, to come to the phone, to come to whatever, wherever you're watching or listening to us, and to speak to your heart from the Holy Spirit. That's really important. Take your Bible guide and turn with me to this passage of Scripture. We're going to read 11 verses 1 through 15 today, and I've isolated 3 points. And these are just the points that I've prayed about and we've come up with, but there may be other things the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Now, we need to pray. Father, I pray today in Jesus' name that you would help us to hear your word. This is very important. We need to hear what you're saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, these 15 verses. Help us to hear them in Jesus' name. And we said together, amen. Now, if you don't have a Bible guide, you can call us or write to us and we'll send you one. Or you can go to BibleDiscoveryTV.com and click on it. It's our website. And it'll take you to a place where you can download it exactly how we printed it. Now, let's focus on this scripture. This is fascinating. 11 verse 1 says, "Oh, that you would bear in the little things, or that you would bear with me in a little folly," he says. I'm going to be a little foolish here. "And indeed, you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as chaste virgin, a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." What is Paul saying? Do not put up with preachers or pastors who are teaching something different from the Bible. Don't do it. We must pay attention to God and read his word or his Bible. This is really important. We have to read the word of God. We have to know it. We have to make it a part of our lives. You know, what I do every morning is that just like I take a shower, brush my teeth, I get up early and I spend time reading several chapters of the Bible as my personal devotions and praying, because that's so very important. Beloved, we need to do that. We need to keep ourselves close to it, to God's word, so we can hear the lies that etch their way through in our society. Now look at this, verse 5. He says, "For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles," Paul says. "Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you," or made known among you, "in all things." I mean, did I commit sin in humbling myself, that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was burdened to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. Macedonian church again. And in everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so, I will keep myself. Paul was responsible in his earnings and did not burden those he was ministering to. Pastors are not hired hands. They are called. A pastor is not a hired hand. He is called. Remember that. Boy, we got to keep that in our minds. All right, let's read the last part of this. It says here, as the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Wow, Paul's really talking strong here. You see, the end of false prophets and pastors will be judged by God himself. It is always best for us to stay on the right side of the line between good and evil. And there is only one way. Know your word. Know the Bible. Get in the word of God. Get in the Bible. That's what I say to people. There are so many places in this world that are so deviating from the word of God. It's amazing. But when people get into the word of God, we see it happen. They say, oh, that's what it says. That's what it says. That's because it's the word of God. Bible discovery.
All right, so today we're reading 2 Corinthians chapters 10 through 11. And in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul mentions the episode in Eden where Eve is deceived by the serpent, Satan. And let me just read it. It's 2 Corinthians 11, verses 1 to 3. He says, I hope you will put up with a little bit of my foolishness, but you are already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Now, this brings up a bit of a difficult passage, in this case, a talking serpent. Now, skeptics ridicule this, but it's not as far-fetched as you may think. Although the Bible claims to be God's word nearly 4,000 times and maintains that every word of God proves true, it tells a seemingly far-fetched story in Genesis chapter 3 about a serpent speaking to Eve. In fact, out of all the things recorded in Genesis, this is probably the most ridiculed by unbelievers. And even some Christians try to make this account metaphorical rather than historical in opposition to passages like John 8:44, Romans 5:12, 2 Corinthians 11:3, 1 Timothy 2:13 and 14, and on and on. But maybe it's not so bizarre as it sounds. After all, talking animals aren't out of our own experience, are they? I mean, it's common knowledge that lots of different birds can reproduce human speech with incredible accuracy. Crows and starlings, for example, can repeat a few words, while minor birds, budgies, and parrots can learn hundreds or even thousands of words.
As a matter of fact, even wild birds can learn to mimic human speech from other birds that were formerly kept as pets and released into the wild. So if certain birds have this ability today, then there is very good reason to believe that God also gave it to some of the other types of animals as well, especially in a very good creation. Hence, the serpentine creature in Genesis, like parrots and other birds today, may have been able to mimic human speech in the same way. Of course, mimicking words and speaking intelligibly isn't the same thing. And when the serpent spoke, it was clever enough to deliver a persuasive message that was capable of deceiving Eve. So how was this accomplished? Well, one possibility is that Satan merely took the form of a serpent, though scripture seems to rule out that idea, as God apparently addresses two separate entities in Genesis 3 verses 14 and 15. And this is consistent with Ezekiel 28, in which God addresses both the human ruler of Tyre as well as Satan, the ultimate power and intelligence behind the ruler. So based on the best scriptural evidence, the serpent was indeed a real animal, an animal apparently capable of mimicking human speech, which Satan took control of and made it say whatever he wanted. In other words, Satan was the intelligence behind the serpent. Now, while it's true that serpents don't mimic speech today, it doesn't mean that they didn't have this ability in the past. Remember, there was a total cosmic and physiological shift at the time of the fall and also the flood. And because of genetic mutations and natural selection, animals are different than when they were first created.
As a matter of fact, there are examples in nature of animals losing previously held traits.
So the idea of a serpent losing the ability to mimic human speech isn't a stretch of the imagination at all. Also possible, but less likely, is that in the pre-fallen state, animals could communicate with humans on some level, but lost the ability due to genetic mutations. Whatever the case, the idea of Satan speaking through a real animal isn't far-fetched at all. So let's not doubt God's word as Eve did. Every word of God from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation 22 can be trusted and will ultimately prove true.
So as you can see, this biblical episode isn't a problem if you believe in the spiritual realm, which most skeptics don't. Now, I gotta admit, I used to be one of those skeptics who didn't believe in the spiritual realm until I had a personal encounter with God and I realized that the spiritual realm was real. And when you come to realize that the spiritual realm is real, then this passage is no longer a problem. So, interesting.
Yeah, that is fascinating, and that's a good story. Now, I use the word fascinating a lot. Somebody was counting how many times I use the word fascinating. Anyway, so there's three times I just used it. Anyway, just briefly, make sure that you sign up for the Bible guides. They're really important. So the Bible guides are new every month. We do one every month. And if you want to be on the January guide, you need to get on the list now and give to us and get your Bible guide and all of that. That's very, very important because we send them out every month. And so don't miss a day of reading God's word. It's very exciting.
And they can also sign up by going to our website,
BibleDiscoveryTV.com.
And it will take you to a donate page. Thank you so much for your giving, because it does cost us to print it and to mail it. But in this case, you're downloading it yourself.
Yep.
And
just like we printed
it.
You got it right there.
So there you go.
All right. Corey, go ahead.
All right. Well, Mom.
Yes.
Okay. So Mom and I are joining forces today again because we were talking about the interesting conundrum that 2 Corinthians 11 brings up for us, because Paul finds himself in the situation with the Corinthian church where there have been these other teachers come in calling themselves apostles and bringing in teachings that were not the gospel.
Yes.
And they were altering the gospel. And Paul is very frustrated with this. And he talks about how he has this, you know, he feels rightly protective over the Corinthian church. And he says something really interesting in verse 3. Ryan read it earlier, but I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read out of the ESV. Starting in verse 3, it says this: "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. So he's saying that they're putting up with these teachers who are coming in and they sound really good, mm-hmm. but they're teaching a different Jesus, a different gospel, but it sounds really good. And we know that it sounds good because Paul's like, even if I am unskilled in speaking, so what? So these guys sound better than
yes.
Paul.
And in the New King James, in verse 6, it says, even though, this is Paul talking, even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we've been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. So, and they were even accusing him, obviously, mm-hmm. of not speaking well. Mm-hmm. And it's
like, if you're telling the truth, Paul, then say it, how come you can't say it in a better way? Like
exactly.
This. Like, show us your chops.
and you know, oftentimes as human beings, we do get impressed yes. with people that can sound good and look good and it can be pretty slick. And sometimes this is even a little more sinister. There is this much truth mm-hmm. and this much that's not. Mm-hmm. And it's the this much that's not that we have to really watch mm-hmm. and listen for. And the only way that we can do that. So Paul's just warning them
yeah.
here. And the only way that we can do that, and especially in this day and age as well, is to get the Bible
yes.
into our hearts and into our minds so that we know what it says. So that when we are listening to some that may have eloquence of speech or we see a lot of followers or whatever, that we know that we know that we know we need to say, wait a minute. I've got to check that out.
Yes.
With my Bible. Be like the Bereans. Remember the Bereans? They were someone that, a people that always checked the scriptures mm-hmm. to make sure that what they were hearing
was
from
accurate.
The scriptures.
The only way yeah. to know if a gospel is false is to know what the actual gospel looks like. That's
yes.
the only way to know. And the only way to know a false teaching is to get the right teaching in your life from the scriptures,
yes.
like what you're saying. It's interesting because they said things that were really, they said things in a really convincing way, and they claim to be persecuted for their message, just like Paul. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 later on, he's like, okay, I'm going to talk like a foolish man for a second and pretend like this is the victim Olympics. That's what we're going to do here. And he goes through it. He's like, look, if you think they're great, if you think that oppression and persecution is what makes you a super apostle, baby, I'm the superest apostle. This is a paraphrase,
yes.
obviously. But that's kind of the vibe that you get coming off of Paul.
Well, yeah, because he starts right off from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day when I've been in the deep. And he goes on and on and on.
I love how he inserts in there, I'm speaking as a fool. He does that a couple times. He's like, just so you know, I don't actually think that this is a good way to evaluate how Christian someone is or how faithful someone yeah. is to that. But again, there are things that we are impressed by as humans. Mm-hmm. And there are things that we are impressed by as Christians. But that doesn't mean that we get to check our brains at the door.
Yes.
A pastor or a teacher can spin the best saying. They can nail it. They can have the most engaging 3-point sermon. They can say it with confidence. They can have, you know, I guess they can have scars from persecution. They can have all of these things, but none of those things matter if they're adding in fake teaching, mm-hmm. if they're adding in untruths. We have to evaluate someone and their teaching based off of the fruits of God in their life, but not just that, because Satan can also mimic mm-hmm. the fruits of the Spirit. He can't get the real ones, but he can mimic them. But by the truth of the doctrines that they're teaching, are they preaching the real Jesus? This is how we know. This is how we know. You have to go in and you have to read it, and then you'll be equipped. You'll know.
And I look down at my paper and I have here, Paul may have lacked eloquence of speech, but he was filled with the knowledge mm-hmm. and the truth of God. And that was his push.
Yes.
That was his call. His life was dramatically changed mm-hmm. by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he couldn't live.
Yes.
He didn't desire to live the way that he did before. He was all in for Christ. And then to pass that on to the people, that was what was in his heart.
That was his heart.
That was his heart. And that's what makes the difference. He wanted God's knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Because he loved God so much
mm-hmm.
and gave his life
mm-hmm.
to devote his love and service
yes.
to God. The false teachers may have had eloquence, but their hearts were filled with their own desires.
Yes.
Not the truths of God.
And I want to add a caveat here mm-hmm. too, because I don't want to sound like I'm coming down on pastors or like we should be trying to have gotcha moments with our pastors or our teachers. We should absolutely be checking with the scriptures, but there's a difference between being wrong about something. You can be passionate and be wrong about something and you're not a false teacher.
That's right.
You just got it wrong. You can get something wrong with a pure heart.
Yes.
These men, that's not what was happening. They knew what they were doing. They were changing the gospel and they were doing it knowingly.
Remember to pray for your pastors.
Absolutely. It's a hard job.
It's a very hard job. Pray for your pastors.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We had a great time, didn't we, studying this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to keep our mind and our heart focused on you and your works. Help us, Lord, to have a desire to read your word, to take your word into our hearts. Help us, Lord, when we discuss things, to discuss it from your word. What does your word say? In the name of Jesus Christ, we said together. Amen.